Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Smile, you son of a...
Flames on the side of my face.
Hello and welcome to the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
Hey Josh, guess what?
What?
I'm gonna host a vote. I vote that we have a guest on this episode. What do you think? You don't get a say. I've sent
democracy's
you,
out the window.
Yeah, I've sent you voting machines without power cords.
And also, we're not rangers anymore. We're just pitchers.
And if you disagree with me, I'm going to send the federal police into your state.
Are you going to kidnap me in an unmarked van?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
But I won't tell you about it. we're back. We're talking politics this week, as we said.
Yeah, we are.
And we have a very special guest. We have Mr. Peter Gray.
It's a good thing I was already here.
Actually, are you our first returning guest?
Oh,
I think you are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then we didn't have Tim on for a second time, did we?
But
no,
we meant to.
No. Yeah, no, I think you're our first returning guest.
I'll take that.
There we go. So the format, as you know, is... I recommend a movie that Josh hadn't seen. Josh recommends a movie we haven't seen. And then normally we watch a movie we both haven't seen. But this time we've had Peter recommend a movie on the topic of politics. So it's going to be
one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, it's one of those taboo topics. You're just meant to talk about it with everyone, everywhere, all the time right now. Because, you know, no one's talking about politics these days. It's not on the news.
No.
It's not on social media. It's nowhere, you know. It's,
people are getting angry at everything but politics, really.
It's not every waking moment of your life.
Yes. But I guess we'll start. Do you want to start with... Josh, what movie did you bring?
Are you sure you don't want to start with the guest?
No. We'll put the guest in the middle with sandwich. A man sandwich.
Yeah.
After my own heart.
Well, my pick for today is Brian De Palma's The Untouchables from 1987, which concerns a Treasury officer dealing with the Prohibition and Al Capone, played by Robert De Niro. Treasury officer is played by Kevin Costner. What do you guys think?
So this is one of those movies that I've been meaning to watch like forever because it's one of those iconic like 80s movies that, you know, everyone knows. It's the Palma, but I sort of refrain from it because gangsters aren't really my thing. And I'm like, I'm over the way we like romanticize Al Capone in movies because he shows up in like everything. Mm. This movie was fucking great.
It's fun, right?
It was so good. And I'm like, it mixed on De Palma. Some things I love, some things I don't. I weirdly love Snake Eyes, and I don't know why, because it's a hot mess of a movie.
Wow. It really is a hot mess.
It's a total hot mess. That movie has like, there's a very famous wall of like tidal wave sequence in it that smashes through the casino at the end of the film. ILM, as in the Star Wars studio, did the full... kit and caboodle did it all up, and then they just decided to cut it out. So that's why, like, at the end of the movie, you know, Nick Cage is talking about, you know, everyone underwater, and it makes no sense to the rest of the film.
Wow, I'm gonna have to revisit that one.
It's mad, but I
remember it being just like, what is actually going on with this movie?
Yeah. But I like that one, and Blowout's all right, but Untouchables is the one I kind of put off because I was just like, but no, it was badass, and it was really good.
Insane formal choices. There's like a bit of like, everyone knows the staircase shootout. It's like very famous for everyone talks about like the visual choices, but also the sound design is amazing in that, and the score. But like, there's also a little bit like Spielberg in the middle there with like the cowboy stuff.
It goes into a full blown Western film like halfway through.
Yeah. The bridge sequence, everything. Yeah. I was watching it going, I'm like, this is the same movie, right? Like, it's really weird because it just, but like, it segues into this like Western mentality, but then, you know, then goes back into being
a metropolitan.
It kind of works.
It works.
Yeah. I don't know how they pulled it off because I'm looking at it, I'm like, those two, I mean, I guess they are, you know, it's outlaws and all that kind of thing, but usually the outlaws are the leads in the Western, whereas the cops are the bad guys. And this was the cops were the good guys. And But like, I loved it. I loved it was like the.
But it was like the thing is like it's like shoot to kill. It's like the acting bad. Sean Connery's just insane
for
the
entire movie.
He's so good, but he's absolutely insane. Like the whole thing where he picks up the dead guy, puts him, and he's like, "You're not gonna speak. You're not gonna speak." And he just shoots.
Oh, yeah, him. But that was really cool. Like that was a moment that I found. It was full of all these really smart, fun moments, like the death of the younger cop, the informant, not the informant. You know, the big major death at the end of.
Yeah.
That was really well done, and I liked it. I liked that it was clearly building up to let you know that that was happening. It wasn't trying to do like because the movie these days would be like no. The one in the elevator.
So. Oh, the elevator. Oh, yeah.
The elevator.
That, that sort of like tracking shot as well.
Yeah. And the music's kind of coming in, and because a movie these days would treat that as a shock death kind of moment, kind of like The Departed.
Yes.
They would treat it like The Departed. And this one kind of like lets you know, like it shows you the hand before, which kind of makes it better.
Which is
it does make it better.
Which to me feels like a De Palma thing to do because of
Hitchcock.
Yeah. And there's like, is it Dressed to Kill?
That's one of his.
That movie reminded me of that in the elevator, like that whole this whole beginning sequence with Angie Dickinson where there's like no dialogue and she's being followed and it's just it's a very like sexually driven scene. Yeah. And then, like, there's the elevator, and you go, well, I know what's going to happen, but you're still like, oh.
You're riveted by
wow. Like, you're still completely shocked at what's happening. But it's the elevator thing where you go, well, don't go in there because that's not going to work. Like, yeah. But you go, well, go in there because I want to see what happens.
Yeah. I loved how it even had, like, the let's get the team together kind of.
Yes, like, building the team.
At the beginning, I was like, this feels like a heist movie now, too.
Yeah. It's really weird because, like, I don't know. Like, I think. You almost think of Brian De Palma being like, he's a classy director. And then you watch his stuff and you go, oh, he's like schlocky.
He's schlocky and a bit messy and a bit like sort of like greedy in a way.
Yeah,
and like,
but it's like
super entertaining.
Yeah, I think that's like, I think we sort of, you watch, because I saw this movie when I was probably like 10.
Wow.
Very young and like didn't remember it. So watching it was basically like watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where this movie is such a classic. It's so well known. Like Sean Connery won the Oscar. It was nominated. Wasn't it like nominated for like
it was
big
nominated,
five?
For, nominated for no. It, Sean Connery. I think it had a writing award, and I think it had a cinematography and a score.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, you sort of like you have this memory of it being so like put up on this pedestal.
Yeah.
So when you watch it, you go, "Oh, this is just like
high entertainment."
Yeah, yeah. Like it's like it's really well cast.
It's a breezy 2 hours. Like it's not like
ostentatious. I'm so glad it was like. 2 hours, like because I'm like a movie like this made today could have been
like three hours,
3 hours,
and like had just sequences that you're like, just cut this out. This was like, nah, everything is in this movie for a reason.
Yeah. It was and violent. I kind of was like, how did they get? How did they pull it off?
It's fun. They did like really disturbing violence through like that elevator shot, but they also did like fun violence where it's just like blasting guys like big
Tommy guns,
yeah,
and things like that.
Just, but like the disturbing violence, like the little girl holding the bag, and you're like,
oh shit!
And then it happens, and you go, well. I have no idea what to expect from this movie now because you just blew up
it's
a 10-year-old
girl. It's kind of like Heat when we watched that a few weeks ago. Like it sets you up with like an opening sequence that's just so strong. You're like, okay, I'm down for whatever this movie is throwing down from this point onwards.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really loved it. And you know, normally this would be like a crime film, but the politics side of it, like the whole showmanship of the press and all that was brought into
the corruption
story.
Of power within the police force and like the necessity to build a team that's like a heist film, but it's like against sort of like heist. It's like busting heists. It's busting all the crime stuff.
And
it's
the
great.
Bureaucracy behind bureaucracy the scenes every time they go into that office with the guy. And it was like, I was like, it's like a really great buffet. It's like a cinema buffet. It's got all these different flavors and they all work well together. You're just stuffing your face full of them.
And there was like, there was some really cheesy, like, I don't want to say like overacted. Like there were a few moments that were very
the
like.
Dying the, in the arms.
But I'm like, but it also fits with what this movie
the,
is. Yeah,
the whole like old man fight with like Connery and like the older cop. And he's just like, do you want to go to the fucking hospital or the fucking morgue?
Well, either of those situations, I'm not coming out of as well. So I guess I'll choose the morgue.
It was, I was so surprised because I thought I was going to be like, okay, I get it, but not my shtick.
Mm. Yeah.
But like loved it. I literally went out like the week after I watched it and bought it on Blu-ray. I want this movie.
Yeah, I want it on Blu-ray. I only have it on DVD. I need to get the upgrade because like, it's just, and circling back to the visuals, there's like obviously split diopters, there's that in there. But
it's
like,
his most controlled one. Because normally controlled. He's throwing his camera around a lot, and this is kind of just a little bit
cool
more.
Point of view shots as well.
Yeah.
Like really great stuff.
I loved it. Brian De Palma's always great for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think you get with his movies, like they might not be good, but you're like, but at least it's going to be interesting.
And
like,
it'll look great.
Like, yeah. Like he just, you go, I'm going to watch it. It'll probably could be dog shit because he's made some.
Yeah.
There are some movies of as of late that are like.
I want to watch The Black Dahlia though. Is that any good?
No. That's one of those ones. So impeccably cast and such a great story, but it does go a little bit too far into like.
Right.
Into like theatrics. And it's yeah, like, right. Oh, but it's
he's
one of those.
He's a vulgarian director.
Yeah. You know?
So what movie did you bring us, Peter?
Well. I thought, you know what, to counterbalance the Untouchables, I'll do a movie called The Campaign, which came out in 2012, directed by Jay Roach, who did like the Austin Powers movie, so you know what you're going to get.
Meet the Parents as well.
Yeah, so yeah. Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, this very small town, and Will Ferrell is, you know, unopposed as the congressman, and then they sort of think, well...
And then the McNaught Coke brothers come in.
Yeah, right, and like there's got to be a way that we can get our... You know, our agenda across. So let's hire like the goofiest person possible, Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, let the fun of politics begin, right?
I love that, like, it's advertised as this movie that's like, it's the wacky comedy about politics. But it's really weird having come, because I heard about this movie when it came out. Our producer Zane is actually a bit of a fan of it. And I'd heard about it, but then I never got around to watching it. And then and so that movie came out 2012. Sorry. So Obama had just won, you know, his second term. So 2012, so this is 4 years before the world went insane. And so I feel like at the time it would have been an interesting, because the Tea Party came around that. And so there were sort of these whispers of just these radical, weirdo right-wing people. But I'm watching in 2016 and part of me is like, I don't think it's really realistic that the Republicans would be upset about punching a baby.
Or punching a dog.
It is one of those movies that you watch now and just go, oh, this is not...
I'd like, wish for this kind like, of...
It's very tame compared to...
But also, this is not out of the realms of possibility.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. When it first came out, it was like, over the top. And you watch it now going, oh, we're living in a world where this is like...
Normal. A documentary.
We would like, if the worst thing Trump did was punch a baby in a dog, bring that shit on.
Yeah.
You know? Or just crash through a window... Bitten by snakes.
Like in a world where the president has got up and told people like inject chlorine.
Yeah.
You know, none of the claims or the things that they say or do, you know, like the book being like, you know, the children's book being communist Rainbow Land. Yeah. They go back to Rainbow Land. I'm watching this. I'm like, this just feels real. Like, too real, maybe.
I don't want to live in Rainbow Land. I'm not telling you.
I wrote it when I was 8.
Yeah. I had mixed feelings. Overall, I didn't love the movie.
Yeah.
But because I've never been, the Will Ferrell bro comedies have been, like, I didn't connect with Step Brothers. I didn't connect with Talladega Nights. Because a lot of the time, I find they're doing a satire of things, but they're almost playing it so straight that it's just doing the thing it's satirizing.
Yeah.
At least for me anyway. That being said, this movie has some really like genuine individual moments that are fucking hilarious.
To me, like because I saw this in 2012 and very much liked it. And I bought it on Blu-ray when it was, you know, one of those like get two and one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that can be my one free. This is great. Yeah. And I haven't really watched it a lot, and rewatching it was a lot of fun. And I just, the sequence where Zach Galifianakis is being like, okay, kids, tell me what you've done.
Yeah.
And that way I won't get mad because it's going to come out. Yep. The way that those kids deliver their lines.
Great.
I was like, I want this whole movie of this family.
Yeah.
The son that's the
escalating
like,
confession.
Because they just say it so straight faced. Yeah. Like, and then you can see there's so much.
Let a girl lick my dick.
It's like there's so much shame, and you can just see the parents being like, "Oh, what?"
And then when the mom,
like, I'm flashing myself to Drew Carey, and he's just like, "Oh, please stop!" Like that, like the little moments.
Yeah, like, and like the children's book, I thought was really funny. The ass and
titties.
I laughed. I was watching this with my mom. She pissed herself the whole way through. She adored this movie, so it plays really well to like general audience.
It's good. Well, I think just because it's like if you don't like politics or you know just like a little bit, it's kind of like, oh, this is like, it's probably like what people that don't like politics this will be what they think it is.
Yeah.
So they can just laugh at just the absurdity of it all. And then people who are really into it be like, this really isn't far from the truth.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite gag. I put a note of it. It's when he's trying to get him to do the Lord's Prayer. And the sign that he does for the temptations. I was like, that is such a niche joke. I laughed myself stupid on that. And my mum didn't get it. But I was like, yeah, this is hilarious.
It's probably like the best comedic editing for like one of these types of bro type films as well, because it plays so well.
Of those bro type films, this is definitely one I could watch again.
It's like controlled so
and
well.
It doesn't like a lot of those sort of bro like the Judd Apatow movie. Yeah. Like I was like, this doesn't overstay its welcome either. It's very like it doesn't have sequences where like, okay, we get the joke, you can stop now. Like they haven't just let them obviously they did let them off the leash in a lot of stuff, but it was very contained still. Like you obviously knew when to go. Okay, this is done. Let's move on.
Yeah. I could feel the improv moment, not an improv scene that runs for like 20 minutes.
Like the kids saying the stuff at the dinner table. You imagine they spent hours of just being like, just say anything. But they were like, okay, we're going to give them maybe 3 or 4 moments and then we're going to cut it. Mm. Yeah.
Even like something like the ads, the fake ads that they do, is he a Taliban and all that kind of stuff. I was like, this feels real.
Yeah.
This is the ads that they've been running.
And like, Trump probably would put a porn ad on.
Yeah.
Like that would be like, that would never happen. Oh, it probably would.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah. I think the strongest thing in this movie is the supporting cast. Like Dylan McDermott.
Oh my God.
How like dare they put him in a nice suit like
But
that?
Like when he just like pops up in the shower.
Yeah.
And like the water's in the suit? And only hitting Will Ferrell and he's just like, oh my God. Because there's a deleted scene where Dylan McDermott's like at Will Ferrell's house and he comes out in like just a towel. So I was like, why was that scene not here?
What?
Because Dylan McDermott in his 50s is like
American Horror Story Dylan McDermott.
But like he just comes out, he's just like everywhere. Like he just like walks out and he was just like, I thought we were done with this. And he was like, can you just like go back inside? Like he's just, I love that he's just,
you can
everywhere.
Tell he was having a lot of fun in that role.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it to do comedy.
No, he always plays like dead serious. Yeah. Like assassins.
I mean, he's dead serious.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's completely in on just how ridiculous.
But the lines he's saying when he's like coaching Zach Galifianakis' character.
Yeah.
On that though, I have to ask, was he like queer coded in an odd kind of way?
Zach Galifianakis'
character.
Well, I know that he's, you know, married and kids.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. But like, you kind of get that he's, I kind of got that just because
they make him very effeminate. And I was like, are they doing it to say like the effeminate things are bad, or are they doing it to make it that he's secret? Like it was a weird question mark in the film where everything else kind of had a bit more of an explicit point to it. And I was like, you know, he's got the lisp, he's got, you know, he minces around the place rather than everything. And there's, you know, training him to do manly things. It felt, having just watched The Birdcage recently, I was like, this has some similarities in a weird way.
True.
So good. Love that movie. There was a Twitter thing about how that movie is bad. And I was like, nah, go away. That movie is perfection.
Yeah.
I will not.
Because you just like go, because like, I've met people like Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Like,
and the character has depth. Like, if it was just cliche.
They exist. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, and take it from people that are like in that community, they exist.
Yeah.
Okay. You may not like them, but you know what? They're great to have around for a couple of hours.
Yeah. But overall, with the campaign, I was like, it was weird to see my mum just adore that movie.
Yeah.
But she loves Will Ferrell in anything he does. Whereas I'm sort of lukewarm on Will Ferrell. And I don't have a strong opinion at all on Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like Zach Galifianakis to me is like, if he's in a movie I like and I like him, good. But like, if it's like a Zach Galifianakis movie, I'm like, well, I'm not seeing it because of you.
Yeah. But it was an interesting film, and an interesting film to watch retrospectively, like watch later in the timeline from when it came out.
I think that's it. I think watching it now, you're just like, oh, wow. Like, this is not
it's not
far
satire.
From what we're... Yeah,
it's just
really quite sad that this is less crazy than what we're experiencing.
Yeah. So, our final film of the thing, my personal pick, a movie that I came across... we were doing a Sandra Bullock marathon, a spontaneous. We always tend to, we'll watch one of them. We'll watch either Speed or The Proposal, and then it cues us to watch like 3 or 4 Sandra Bullock movies in a row because we just.
It's miscongeniality.
Our whole family just adores her. And this was one because it was on Netflix at the time. We were like, well, we haven't seen this one. Let's put it on. Because So it's Our Brand is Crisis, sorry. The 20... Oh, God, I have the year up on my phone. It's 2015,
yeah.
And it's a battle-hardened American political consultant is sent to help re-elect a controversial president in Bolivia, where she must compete with a long-term rival played by Billy Bob Thornton. And so this movie came out and it was like geared up to be like an Oscar baity thing, and then it tanked at the box office like, and got
tanked at the box office.
It's a huge bomb on like a $25 million budget, and it made like
$6 million, like $6 million worldwide. Like
Got absolutely trashed by critics. Got like a 20-something% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it was, and everyone considered this bad. And so we just watched it because it was there. But I remember the trailers coming out for this movie, and the trailers paint it as like this intense political thrillery kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the movie's like a comedy almost.
Yeah.
It's got hard, it's hot humor.
A perfect double feature of Miss Sloan. Yes. It's like when we were watching comedic based.
When we were watching, because I watched it with Josh, and Josh was like, this would make a great double feature with Miss Sloan. I was like, yes, because Peter, you love Miss Sloan.
I loved Miss Sloan.
We all love Miss Sloan at this table.
we got Peter onto the podcast the first time because I was looking through Brisbane Critics top 10, and then Peter had Paddington 2 and Miss Sloan. I was like, yes, this guy tastes the right taste, so he's coming on the podcast.
Because Miss Sloan just like came and went, and the screening, like I went, like they didn't give us, I don't think they gave us a critic screening. So I went and saw it in a general screening on like the Thursday night it opened, and there was like very few people in there. Mm. And I just came out of that going, like, I was like, Jessica Chastain's going to at least be nominated for this.
Mm. She got a Golden Globe.
She got a Golden Globe, but.
And then nothing else. And I miss seeing that on a cinema. And that's one of my, I get some films where I really regret not seeing them on the cinema. I regret not seeing Our Brand is Crisis, but we didn't get a fucking release here because it tanked in the US and then they just ditched
it. And we got advertising for it. And then it came and went in the States, and they were like, well, if we're not making money here, we're certainly not making money anywhere else. So like I get it going straight to DVD here.
Yeah.
But shame America, because... Yeah.
You liked it?
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
And it was one of those ones, again, that I'm like, I remember seeing it on Netflix going, I should watch this.
Yeah.
And thinking, surely, like, it'll stay.
No.
Another reason why physical media is better.
Physical media, all the time.
So I rented it on Google. And, yeah, it was just like, oh, wow. Like, I'm like, this is really good.
Yes.
Like, she is... fantastic.
She's so good. Oh, directed by David Gordon Green as well, who's a very interesting director.
Yeah.
He directed the Halloween reboot, Stronger with Jake Gyllenhaal.
He did, like, Pineapple Express.
Yeah,
Pineapple Express. And Your Highness?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, what a weird career. I need to see Your Highness.
Oh, my God.
Is it good?
Well, I love it. it's like, then you go Sandra Bullock, Billy Bob Thornton, Anthony Mackie, Endowed. Like,
Endowed.
All of these people. And, again, it's one of those things where you go... maybe 5 years ago, this seemed too far-fetched.
Yeah.
Watching it now, this is exactly what people would do.
All it's of so, the strategies that they use are like, these would all work, and it's what, it, you know, people what, are using.
Yeah, and I think maybe because they did it in, like, Bolivia, maybe that also contributed to audiences not necessarily, you know, getting on board. It was advertised as a completely different movie than what it was.
Yeah.
Like, if you maybe hyped up that it was, like, a Sandra Bullock,
comedic,
not like, yeah, not necessarily like full Sandra Bullock comedy, but like a comedy at least. Yeah. Maybe it would have been something
playing along that line, definitely.
Yeah, or even like from the director of Pineapple Express, maybe that would have worked because Pineapple Express was huge. So who knows?
But like, it's full of all these really great scenes, these really great like Sandra Bullock monologues. You just like the Our Brand is Crisis scene, the first big scene.
Yeah,
so good.
But that was like one of those ones where she's like, "Our brand is," and in my mind, I immediately have the Leonardo DiCaprio picture being like, "She's gonna say it," but she like she doesn't say
she
it.
She said then exactly
then, and then she goes, "Is cry," and I'm like, "All right." You get a pass at that one.
Yeah. And she's, I love how she's like suffering from the altitude sickness throughout the, so she's just kind of like munching on chips the whole time. Like she's got a lot to do in this film and she's doing it really well. And it's a complete character.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's so good. She's so fun to watch.
Like you watch this going like, this is what you should have won an Oscar for.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Like, not playing like, the white savior.
Like, yeah, like the blind side. Like, it's like, okay, we all have our, there's a lot to talk about with that.
Yeah.
And it's great that she got nominated and got honored because she's great. But you watch something like this and go, the energy towards the campaign should have been towards you.
Yeah.
Because this is like, I mean, she's choosing very specific roles now.
Yeah.
Like post Oscar, she's like, I'm very much a big deal now.
Yeah. You go, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Like, no more.
And I think they geared it up to be an Oscar bait release. And I'm wondering if that contributed to why people reacted badly. But it's not so much that people don't think much of this movie. People, like, despise this movie. They loathe that they talk about it being bad and the performance being terrible. I'm like, what movie were you
what
watching?
Are they watching? Yeah. Like, what are they paying attention to?
It's
like,
good. And it's visually, it's really fascinating because it's, you would think they could just pull off like an all handheld kind of aesthetic on this. But like from my memory of it, I thought, oh, that's what it was. But then I'm watching it with Josh, I'm like, oh no, there's a lot of really interesting stylistic choices. Zoom lenses at just the right place. Like he's using all the tools at his command. It's got a really interesting color palette. I'm baffled why people don't like this movie because I genuinely think more people should watch it for one.
It felt like almost like this is like a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Yes, 100%.
Without being like a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without going too far past it, a great supporting cast and Dowd. Even the guy who played the presidential candidate.
Really Joaquin D'Amelda, I think I'm saying that correctly.
It was, and Billy Bob Thornton's really great because
he's someone that I'm like, I like Billy Bob Thornton, and then other times I really don't like him. But I mean, like Bad Santa, one of the greatest things ever. But in this movie, I'm like, he is like, he knows he's a deplorable person, but he's owning up to it.
Yeah.
Whereas the way that he talks to Sandra Bullock is kind of like, you're just like me, you just don't want to.
Admit it.
Yeah. And like you can almost see her being like, I am just as bad as this guy, but I don't want to do that.
The scene where she moons him out the bus.
Oh my God.
Utter perfection.
When they just like pay the bus driver and he's just like shifts again.
Race in the middle of the movie and it's this, you know, the soundtrack, there's like the party montage.
Yeah.
Like it's got all these moments that should be really incongruous to the tone of the film, but then it ends on like a really somber note. And I was just like, yes, this is a really great place to end it, you know, where she's walking through the crowd. And
also like all of your tactics worked, but then...
To what end?
Yeah.
To
like, what, you, yeah, just, like you just
the guy
like,
is a bad person.
Yeah. And it's really showing that it's like they can, you can do amazing work for someone to get them where they need to be, believing that they're going to be the change that you say they're going to be, but you know the whole time, like, he's not going to be what we want him to be. But
and
we
part of you knows that throughout the whole thing.
You're like, he's not going to change, but you go, but maybe. But then I think if he did change, it'd be like, cop out. Like, that's... That's the happy ending that
she wouldn't have growth either.
That's the happy ending that, like, I think audiences want. But then if they got it, they'd also be like, well, that would never happen. You'd be like, well, then the reality is what you don't like either. So just choose one.
Yeah. But overall, really interesting politics as, like, high entertainment politics as, like, slapstick comedy. And the politics is sort of a grounded
Not your usual choices, and I'm happy with all of us.
Yeah, you think politics would be something like, you know, JFK or, you know, one of those movies, which I do need to watch that one at some point, but I just need to spare 3.5 hours.
J. Edgar, but don't watch
J. That's a terrible movie.
Thank you.
It's
so
bad.
Army Hammer in Old Man Makeup was not
all of it.
All DiCaprio in Old Man Makeup.
I think everyone sort of forgets. You're like, this is the DiCaprio movie that like just has been pushed by the wayside.
Yeah,
and fair enough. But I'm glad that there wasn't nothing wrong with JFK, but like I'm glad that there wasn't the typical epic political movie.
Yeah,
like we had, you know, these three very different movies that also again retrospectively go, well, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. They don't lionize politics in a way. Like all of them look at the corruption going on underneath in different ways as well.
Which is what politics is. Like, you know, the public get, well, more so now the public are seeing how bad everything is. But, you know, 2 years ago we were getting just the sheen. You get all of the nice stuff or all of the bad stuff towards the opponent. Now it's like, well, even the winner is the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Have you seen the Settle for Biden ads at the moment? They're like, he won't inject you with chlorine. You know. Do you have any political films you love? Like any other ones that you like, yes, this is a go-to great one?
It was funny because after I watched The Campaign, I watched Booksmart, and then I watched Starship Troopers, and Starship Troopers is very much a political movie.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that came out in 97.
Yeah.
And it,
I still haven't seen it. I've been meaning to.
It was one of those ones that like everyone just like it critically slaughtered.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh,
they missed the satire.
That's it. You watch it now going, how is this not anything but Paul satire? It's Paul Verhoeven.
He did Robocop. Robocop and Starship Troopers are both so heavily politicized. And
apparently the opening sequence is shot for shot from a Frank Capra war propaganda film called Why We Fight.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, they told us that in film school. And, so I was like, I should watch this, and I still haven't watched it.
And like, you know, all throughout the movie, there are these big like campaign ads of like, what can we do for you? Like, bugs are the way to like, bugs are going to kill us all. Like, and then you've got like police officers like giving guns to kids being like all, you know. Yeah. And it's like, I don't understand how, like I was like, I saw this when I was 12 and I understood that it was satire.
Yeah.
So, but watching it again now, I was like, this movie is fucking great.
Okay. I need to move it up.
It's ridiculous. And you got, well, I'm not meant to believe that Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards are high schoolers.
Yeah, no.
But you know what? I'll forgive it.
I need to see more of you. I still haven't seen Showgirls. That's one I need to experience.
I'm watching that tomorrow.
There's a documentary that came out about that.
Yeah.
I think my... I love, you know, Miss Sloane, we were talking about.
Yeah, Miss Sloane's mine too.
I adore Miss Sloane. Yeah. Do I enjoy any other, like, presidential movie? Not really.
Secret Honor?
Oh, Secret Honor, yeah.
Because we've done for Power.
We did that last episode talking about Power.
Yeah.
It's Philip Baker Hall in a room on his own being Richard Nixon going nuts. And it's fucking
not even, like, any voices. It's just him.
Okay. And it is because he's dictating a memo and then it turns into this tirade and it's actually a really fucking great movie.
Tight 90 minutes based on the play, but this it's nice. So
Robert effective. Altman
Philip,
movie.
Philip Baker Hall is... he's
no one says shit dick like he does. I love when they count the shits and fire it up. But yes, so thank you so much, Peter, for coming on and bringing interesting movies. If you guys, if our listeners have any interesting politics movies, feel free to mention to us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at PictRangers. We're on Facebook at The Money Motion Picture Rangers. You can email us at motionpicturerangers@gmail.com. If you have a triple feature, we might read it out on the podcast if we get any sent to us. Which we haven't so far, so who wants to be the first one? Where can people find you, Peter?
They can find me on Twitter at RatedPDG. I am also on The Rotten Tomatoes, Peter Gray, G-R-A-Y.
We should have introduced you as Rotten Tomatoes Certified Film Critic.
I mean, don't fawn over me, it's fine. but no, that was a great day learning that one. So yeah.
That's cool. And I'm very online at @ShaneM_Anderson, although I just recently cleared my Twitter feed.
You did. You cleaned up.
I saw that Lindsay Ellis video and I'm like, yes, I'm going to do that now. About like not having right-wing trolls dig through your tweet history, find something to take out of context.
I'm pretty sure I'm fine. I think I've just like...
you tweet about movies.
I tweet about movies. That's about it.
Yeah.
And every now and then something about Britney Spears because...
Queen.
Hashtag
Crossroads underrated. And Josh?
And I'm on Twitter at @JoshuaGrigg_.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you again next week. And you find this and more other great podcasts at thatsnotcanon.com. You can also listen to us on Spotify. Our Spotify numbers are like zero at the moment. So if you want to listen to us there, do that. Pick us up. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you again next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.